I don't normally do this, but I'm going to go through a lot of scripture. Hopefully not too much. I want you to hang with me because I'm going to go pretty fast. Tonight's is basically a continuation of Sunday night. And it's a preview, or maybe not a preview, but it's a prelude to Sunday night prayer service. So the title of the message is called My Prayer Request, and it's coming out of Acts chapter 4. But you have to know the backstory, so I got to give it to you here. So the backstory for Acts chapter 4 begins in, of course, Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You got to understand, the day began at 6 o'clock in the morning, so ninth hour. It'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Here's what happened. And a certain man, and you got to know this, lame from his mother's womb. He was lame. His legs didn't work from the day he was born, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Well, that's where Peter and John are going, into the temple. And you know this story. I think you've heard this story. So when they come up and they see this guy, and I can't help but wonder, how many times have they passed this man? Because they laid him there daily. All through Jesus' ministry. You got to think about this. All through Jesus' ministry, this guy was laid at the gate. Why wasn't he healed? I don't know. I think it might be for what's coming up, because you're going to see something very special. So anyway, those are the kind of weird questions that popped through my mind. Here was a man laid there daily. And then Peter and John, you know the story, they walk up and they see the guy. Actually, I think they've seen him probably a lot of times before, but today was going to be different. Today they went up to him directly. They didn't just pass by like we sometimes do, you know, just kind of give a sideways glance for somebody who's in trouble. And we don't want to be that person who has to stop. Okay, we don't want to pull over and help someone. Today sometimes it's kind of scary to do that, right? I've taken food to people who they held up signs, "We'll work for food." I often wonder if they would, but regardless, I've taken food to them, but not knowing the situation, I've actually parked my car a good distance from them and walked back to them and gave them food. I don't hand out money, I give food. If that's what they say they want, I give them food. And we stopped at Wade's one time. Remember that, hun, in Dublin? And there was these two guys there. We bought dinners for them and some snacks and some other stuff, and we got there. But to keep my family safe, I made sure my car was maybe as far from here to the back door there in the lobby, so that they would be safe regardless, but I would at least do what Jesus wanted me to do. So anyway, they heal this man. He had been lame since birth. I'll go ahead and tell you ahead of time, he's now over 40 years old. 40 years, unable to walk. And I believe Jesus saw him many times. If he was laid daily at the gate of the temple when you're walking in, I believe the apostles saw him many times. Why he was not healed, I don't know. I think we're probably going to find out. So he gets healed, and then everybody goes crazy. They think Peter and John are now somebody special. You got to remember, this was after Pentecost, so at least 50 days. This is probably 2 months after Jesus was crucified, okay? 2 months. That's not a long time, is it? So here all of a sudden, this man is healed, who's been lame since birth, over 40 years old, and now they think they got somebody special. These people probably know Jesus. And so they said, "Oh man, we got more. We got more people who can heal, just like Jesus." And so they start going nuts, and Peter's trying to stop them and like saying, "No, no, no." Said, "This man was healed through the power and authority of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified." So he's giving Jesus all the credit. gave him an opportunity to preach. Well, that caught the attention of this, what's called the religious crowd, the Sanhedrin. And this is where I'm going to read kind of fast. And I don't want you to read with me in your Bibles. I want you to read on the screen. So here we go. Hold on to your seats. So starting with verse 1 in chapter 4 of Acts. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. That's the attention they got. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I could just imagine them going, oh no, not again. I mean, we just got rid of Jesus and now we're getting other people doing it. Not again. And they laid hands on them. Now, I don't know if you kind of grasp what that means, but they probably roughed them up a little bit. You know, when people lay hands on you, I mean, they like grab you and you know how police officers do. They'll toss you. They'll even put you down and put you in a headlock or something like that. So they laid hands on them and put them in hold. In other words, in jail until the next day, for it was eventide. In other words, it was the end of the day, the night shift. There was no night shift, I guess. And so they put them in jail and they're like, I'm going to go home. Day's late. You know, it's too late to do something now. We're going to hold them over. So there's what happened. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word, this is interesting, they believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Wow, what a revival. Just over one act, and that was great. And it came to pass on the morrow, so we're on the next day now, that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred, those are the kinfolks people, so of the kindred of the high priest, notice when people get in power, they put their kinfolks in there with them. So when a kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem, and when they had set them in the midst, this is Peter and John now, in the middle of the crowd, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by the way, he was standing right alongside with him, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, see, he's still preaching, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. So by the power and the name of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, this is why this man is made well after 40 years, okay? He stands right in front of them. And by the way, he's arrested too. I don't know if y'all realize this, but they arrested him too. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, get this, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, I'm not quite sure how you know that, and ignorant men, they marveled. It means they were astonished. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So it makes me think after 2 months went by, they're thinking, wait a minute, I remember you guys. I saw you with Jesus. You went around following him. And we done got rid of, they probably thought they done got rid of all of them, but they didn't. And beholding the man which was healed, what was he doing? Standing with them. They could say nothing against it. I mean, the guy lame from his mother's womb was standing right beside him How are you going to, you know, I hear news and I hear the way people spin the news, and man, can they spin the news. They can spin it and twist it to where you don't even know which way is coming and going. But there was this man standing there, and there was no way they could spin that. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, so they put them outside for a little bit, they conferred among themselves. So they had a little discussion, like, what are we going to do about all this? Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest, revealed to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem. In other words, too many people saw it. Okay? Can't get out of this one. Too many people saw it. Can't say it didn't happen. Just like Jesus. When Jesus resurrected, what did they do? They paid the men some money. They said, if people come asking about it, say the disciples came and stole the body. Well, they couldn't do that here. The healed man was standing right beside them. And we cannot deny it. So they didn't know what to do. But that it spread no further among the people. Now, this is what they were worried about. They didn't want this spreading around. Already 5,000 believed, and that's just 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children. Let us straitly threaten them. And I don't know what that entails, but I'd say it was more than words, that they speak henceforth to no man. In other words, I want you to stop preaching to anybody in Christ's name, so that they henceforth to no man, speak henceforth to no man in this name. And so they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. I love Peter. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. In other words, you be the judge. Who should we obey, God or you? That's a good question, isn't it? Who should we obey, God or you? God, exactly. God. And that's what Peter said. You judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. See, there were 5,000 people outside, probably waiting on them to get out. Because of the people, for all men glorified God. Oh, that's the reason. God got the glory. God got the glory. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Okay? So for 40 years, every day nearly, well, not when he was a baby, but when he got old enough to beg, he was put out there and to beg. Now, the reason I didn't have you open your Bibles to look and read ahead, imagine yourself, you are Peter and John. You have just healed somebody, and you have just gotten arrested. You were held in jail all night long, and then the next day, and you were probably roughed up a little bit, I don't know how much. Those people weren't gentle. You were probably roughed up, and now they bring you into the court. They're holding court. They want to charge you with something. Okay? They want to charge you with something, but they can't deny it because the man they healed was standing right there after all these years. And that's why they said, for the man was above 40 years. In other words, too many people knew about this man. Too many people, and they couldn't deny it. No way, no how. They couldn't deny it. On whom this miracle was showed. Okay, you're Peter and John. You've just been arrested, and you've just been threatened to not preach or teach in Jesus' name. What would be your prayer request? Anybody? Jesus. Yeah? Pray that Jesus will be with you. What would be your request? That's one. That's good. Any others? What was it? Pray for courage. Is that how we would pray? If I was in trouble? And if I was...
Probably have mercy on us.
Yeah, mercy. Pray for mercy. If I... Yeah. I mean, I would probably, if it was me, pray one, God would protect me. Isn't that what we do? We pray because we're traveling somewhere. We pray that we get there safe. God protect us. And then if I have people threaten me, God, move them. Get them out of the way. That would probably be a request. But you guys brought up some interesting things. Mercy. See, what I want to teach you, what I want to tell you, is the difference between a needs-based, in other words, praying for myself, versus praying for what God wants. So here we have a situation that they could have just as easily prayed, Lord, these people are not the right people to be rulers of Israel. Put them out of their misery and remove them. That's what a lot of people would have prayed. That's what a lot of people would have prayed. You see, sometimes we go through things and either God is trying to use it for us, for our good, or he's trying to get glory through you, but through other people. Remember all the people outside? For all men were glorifying God. So just because you're in a hard place right now doesn't mean God doesn't care. He does care. But he wants to get glory from it. And now you can sit and you can whine and you can cry and you can beg. Yes, all those things. And if I get sick, yes, I'm going to pray for God to heal me. But I'm also going to pray that God, you get the glory. Whatever is going on, I want you to get the glory for this. I believe there were several people not healed because of that man, especially the one that was by the pool of Siloam. Okay, he was by the pool. And I'm pretty sure Jesus walked by there a lot of times. There was a lot of sick people around that pool. And when he went up to this one particular guy, and he asked him. It was an interesting question because he was lame. He was also lame. He couldn't walk. I don't know why they had such problems like that, but Jesus walked up to him and said, do you want to be healed? You know, the man's lame, of course. Wouldn't he say yes? No, that wasn't his answer. He says, well, every time I try to get into the pool, because they believed that an angel came down and stirred the waters up, and whoever got in first got healed. That may have happened. I mean, that was the belief, so that may have happened. And so the thing was, he said, but every time I go to get in, somebody gets in before me. So he never got his healing. And Jesus healed him on the Sabbath after passing him who knows how many times. Jesus, he's remarkable because he knew healing the man on the Sabbath, take up thy bed and walk, was considered wrong when it comes to the Pharisees. See, Jesus did all kinds of things on the Sabbath day. And sometimes I wonder if he didn't do it on purpose. I think he did. Because he was trying to show them, I believe, I think he was trying to make it known that these guys, the rulers, the Pharisees, are a bunch of hypocrites, because wouldn't it be better to heal somebody on the Sabbath? Because he even asked them at one point. He said, which man among you, that if your mule or donkey or something falls into a ditch, wouldn't straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Of course they would. Of course they would. And then he asked them, is it right to heal on the Sabbath? In one point in time, he asked, is it right to do good or to do evil? And they wouldn't answer the man. Well, anyway, so I didn't want you to read ahead of me, because here's how the apostles prayed. And I'll go this pretty quickly. The apostles prayed for courage, yes. Verse 23. And so being let go, they went to their own company, so they had people waiting on them, and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. This is what I've been talking about. People prayed in groups. People prayed in groups. They lifted up their voice in one accord. What's the first thing they did? Prayed upward. You notice that? Just like in the Lord's Prayer. Well, it's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. I always say all that is in them. We don't speak like this, but that's what it says up there. In other words, he's the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it. So they acknowledge God first. That's how our prayer meeting should go. We should acknowledge God first as Lord of heaven and earth and the sea, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? See, they quoted scripture in their prayer. Did you notice that? It's good to quote scripture when you pray. It's good to pray with an open Bible. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. Here we go. They acknowledge God first, prayed from Scripture. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. In other words, look at what they're doing to us. They're threatening us not to speak in your name and to teach in your name. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, praise the Lord, all boldness, they may speak thy word. You see, folks, there's coming a day. I don't know when. I feel like it's coming sooner than I expected. That when certain things a pastor gets up to preach about will be considered hate speech. And a pastor will be subject to the law, and that law may cart him off to jail. Who knows? And he might get sued for whatever. I believe that day is coming. What will God do? I don't know. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Grant unto thy servants, that's us, that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. How? By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. See, they came and they prayed expecting God to heal and do mighty signs and wonders. By the name and the authority, of course, of thy holy child Jesus, his son. And when they had prayed as a group, you could add that, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, don't you see the difference between a needs, in other words, praying for my needs versus praying for what God, his plan should be? Do you see the difference? That's what I want you to take away from this. I want you to notice that there's nothing wrong, and you've heard me say this more than once. There's nothing wrong for praying for needs. That's what we just did a few minutes ago. But we should not leave the glory of God out of the equation. Even when we're praying for ourselves and each one of you, maybe God will take that situation. When my mama passed, she had COPD. That's a terrible way to go. You're slowly suffocating. her lungs could not naturally expand on their own. If you look up the scientific method of how all this works, even the doctor explained it. He took a rubber glove and he blew it up like a balloon, big old balloon. He blew it up and he stretched it. You know, he just kept stretching it. He blew it up a couple times and he just stretched it. And you know what happens to a balloon after you blow it up a couple of times? Kind of gets, instead of this little tight little balloon, what do you have now? This little thing dangling. He said that's the way her lungs are. He said she had to physically concentrate on moving her diaphragm so she could take a breath. That's why she couldn't sleep very well. I mean, you fall asleep, your lungs aren't on automatic, so she couldn't breathe. She'd wake up, had to take a breath. And so slowly, slowly, over time, she was suffocating. But anyway, I won't go into much more detail than that. But God, oh, this is what I love. As sad as I was, oh, I had cried so many tears. But as sad as I was, every time somebody came in to see Mom, because she was on hospice too, first thing out of her mouth, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And I'm like, who is this woman? My mom used to be some of the most timid. She couldn't speak to anybody. But the first thing out of her mouth, if she hadn't already talked to you, and even if she had already talked to you, she'd ask you, "Do you know Jesus Christ? He's your Lord and He's your Savior. If you don't know Him, you better get to know Him." And then after, I forgot how many people, and one day I was sitting there, I was just amazed. And I said, "Mom," I said, "do you realize what you've done?" She looked at me, she said, "What?" I said, "You've witnessed to more people in the past 10 days than I probably have in the past year, maybe longer." I was kind of ashamed at that statement, but it was true. It was true. She witnessed. God got the glory out of a very sad situation. I can at least say that much. I don't know who, if any, got saved because of that situation. But we're not responsible for whether people get saved. We're responsible for the message. We're ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador is sent to deliver a message. It is the Lord. What did He say? "My word will not return to me void or useless or in vain." He takes care of it. If you would, please stand. Heavenly Father, I thank You for what You've done. I thank You for all the people who's been in my life that You have touched. Even though I didn't understand at the moment what was going on, I can see sometimes that You've had a purpose. And I look back and I see that You got glory for what happened. And so, Lord, all these needs we prayed for tonight, yes, we pray for people to be healed. Yes, we pray for people to be protected. We pray that their grief will turn into joy. But, Lord, I also pray that in this situation they're going through, that lives will be changed, that hearts will be melted, and that they will be prepared to come and turn to You. And so, Lord, take all of these situations and our troubles, all the things that we are concerned about, and use them for Your glory. For we ask that in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And our congregation said, amen.